The five greatest revelations I have received from God since becoming a Christian. Number one was what? All right, you're in Sunday school now, so be prepared, Jazz. Get ready. What's epistolated mean? What's that mean, I'm epistolated? Of course, you'd have to know what the epistles are. So what are the epistles? Does that mean we don't believe in the rest of the Bible? No, it means that the epistles explain what's in the rest of the Bible. Everything from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of God, the only Word of God. I was in a hotel room a couple of days, the past couple of weeks, and they've got the Bible in there, and then they've got another book in there called Another Testament of Jesus Christ. Throw that in the garbage. Well, I've turned it upside down. I didn't throw it away. That's not how I act, Frank. I turned it upside down. But there is no such thing as another testament of Jesus Christ. Can everybody say amen? Number two, what's the second thing? By the way, all of these came to me directly and before I even started a church, okay, or started a ministry. What's the second thing I learned? Are y'all convinced that I believe that? Are you pretty much satisfied that I believe that? Even if something bad happens to me, do I believe it? If something bad happens to you, do I believe it? You know what that's called? Conviction. You can't talk me out of it. Why can't you talk that out of me? Why? Why can't you? Exactly. God bless. Hang on. I may not have pulled enough money out of my wallet. I'm going to start giving out. All right, what's the third revelation I got from God? Why God had to become a man. Now, full disclosure on this one, this is something you'll never get full revelation on. Never, never. But I learned from the Bible that man's the one that turned control of what God gave to him over to the devil. Wasn't God, it was man. And then Jesus had to become a man to fix what man screwed up. Giving you a real brief summary. Number four is the only revelation that I didn't get directly, and I didn't get before I started this ministry, and that is what? Faith is not something you do to get God to do something. Faith is just your positive response to what God has already accomplished by grace. Now, here we go. This is our third week. There's three things in there. Two of them are in there, and one of them, my sweetness, is implied. Two things are in there. One of them is implied. What are the two things that are in there? Faith and grace. It's not faith only, it's not grace only, it's faith and grace. What's the thing that's implied in there, Regina?
Knowledge.
I mean, you can't operate your faith and grace unless you have knowledge of it. Who did we use as an illustration last week? Mr. Beard back there. What did we say? Is Jordan going to the spring training games on March the 8th and 9th? Does he sweat about it? Does he fret about it? Why? Another question. Why? Why doesn't he sweat or fret about it? Why? He knows me. He knows my will. And so because he knows me and he knows my will, he has confidence that I'll do it. The church doesn't know who God really is. Do you hear me? Most of the church doesn't know who God really is. They think God is mad at us because we don't live perfect lives. Guess what? Nobody other than Jesus lived a perfect life. I hope you got what I said. Let me rephrase it. How many of you cleaned up before you came to church this morning? God bless you. God appreciates it. How many of you is going to work tomorrow and provide for your family? See, the devil wants you to focus on all the things you're not doing, but you got to focus on the fact that God, in his goodness and mercy, decided that he wasn't going to remember your sins or lawless deeds anymore. When you were, and I use me as an illustration, I thought it was a great sermon. Did anybody listen to the sermon more than just what they heard on Sunday morning? than anybody but me. Thank you, Leslie. That's why you get Carol, amen. Listen, it's not hard to do. You can put up with me twice. Amen. All right, okay. So now that gets me to Revelation number 5, the decision-making process. I hold in my hand, I'm Carnac the Magnificent, I hold in my hand a bookmark that goes all the way back to 102 North 2nd Street. It has a phone number on there for me of 378-9635, which is when I lived in Briarwood, on Briarwood in beautiful Sierra Vista, Arizona. That's how long ago I got this revelation. And this revelation came directly from God himself. This will probably be, I asked the Lord, I said, now Lord, I got to be honest with everybody and tell them that you gave me the revelation, but I said, would it be okay with you if I get the copyright money on it? He said, son, don't worry about it. I got plenty of assets. I'll let you have it as long as you give me the credit. So God gave me this revelation directly. And I'm going to put up, Jamin, I'm going to put the entire revelation up. It's in a pyramid. You'll see it right there. This is the entire revelation. And then I want to give you some background. The first part of the revelation I got by itself, and that's your next slide, Jamin. When I first started the church, it might even went to the little brown house, but it could have been the metal building. I started teaching people this phrase. The quality of our lives is directly related to the quality of the decisions we make. Say that with me out loud.
The quality of our lives is directly related to the quality of the decisions we make.
I got that from the Lord by itself. I want you to pay particular attention to the word quality. Everybody likes quality, don't you? Huh? When you buy a piece of meat and you buy a steak, you want it to be quality, don't you? Huh? You want your kids to be quality, right? Amen. You want everything to be okay, right? So pay particular attention to the word quality. So I got this revelation, the quality of our lives is directly related to the quality of the decisions we make. And I taught that for a while. So one morning when we were living on Briarwood, and I'd already been teaching this for quite a while, or a little bit, I think just a little bit, and I got up one morning, don't have any idea what day it was, and I hadn't been fasting. I hardly ever fast. Doesn't shock anybody, does it? But you look at me in that tone. I hadn't been fasting. I hadn't been reading my Bible that morning. I hadn't been doing anything particularly spiritual. And I got up out of bed, and I sat up. And when I sat up, as God is my witness, when I sat up, God gave me the rest of the decision-making process. Just boom. Just put it right into my spirit. And Teresa is always fascinating because she's not near as emotional as I am. Have y'all figured that out? That's why we balance each other out really good. I get all excited and either excited or mad, and she just kind of stays even keel. And I sit up in the bed, and he dropped this revelation on me, and I said, Teresa, God has given me the decision-making process. And she said, well, that's just really nice. That's it. Congratulations. Get up and take out the garbage. Do you see that hamper that is full of dirty clothes? Get in there and wash those. She said, congratulations. So I went from my bedroom on 3472 Briarwood and went into my kitchen and wrote it down. All right. So here's the rest of it, and then I'm going to give you something else. And here's the rest of it. Here's the rest of the decision-making process. Go up to the main diagram. No, let's go to the top and go down. I've changed my mind. See? All right, so what's the first part of the diagram? The quality of our lives is directly related to the quality of the decisions we make. the quality of our decisions, and I want you to pay particular attention to the word quality, because if it's not quality, it's not going to work out good for you. You tracking? The quality of our decisions is directly related to the quality of our... All right, the next part. The quality of our belief system is directly related to the quality of the information we receive. Say it with me, come on. And then finally at the bottom, the quality of the information we receive is directly related to the quality of the people we associate with. So we're going to do it like this. I feel like it's really a really good, I really do feel like a teacher this morning. Really? We're going to go with, say it. Or you could say P-I-B-D. I'm from the department of P-I-B-D. Frank, you are under arrest. So I said to the Lord, I've taught this a bunch, and I'm going to tell you something. On some level, this makes me sad. I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but it makes me sad sometimes to teach this, because when people really understand what I'm saying, it can rock your world, because the revelation may hit you. Listen to me very carefully. The revelation may hit you that you've spent your entire life with the wrong information. Don't shout me down now. And wrong information can be passed down generationally. Don't shout me down again. Am I right? Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have been to churches that have taught you something like this, in this format, that actually requires you to think and comprehend and meditate? Huh? No. See, that's the problem. You know, the only people that will struggle with this truth, you know, the only people that will give you trouble? Church people. Because what it does is it completely blows away the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. It completely blows it out the water. It's no longer God manipulating your life or causing you to do certain things. It's all about what you've done and what you've heard from people and what information those people gave you and how that affected your belief system and how that affected your decisions. My dear Maria pointed out to me last week that I like sports. Yes, it bothered me a little bit, but no, I'm just joking. How many of you know I do like sports? I like it even when Kentucky gets beat in overtime. Where was I? Okay, you see, this blows away the concept that it's all up to God. So everybody knows I like sports. How many has ever heard of a guy named Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield. Wait a minute, let's bring Dewey into the game. Who is Baker Mayfield, Mr. Dewey?
I don't know who he's playing for now, but he's a quarterback.
Okay. He's a he won the Heisman Trophy. He won the Heisman Trophy with the Oklahoma Sooners. Okay? And he got drafted by the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns determined that he wasn't as good as they thought he was. And I wish James was here, because he'll know all the teams. Because if you think sports is my idol, oh Lord. So the Cleveland Browns decide he's not good enough. He's not what they thought they were. And I believe, if I remember correctly, they traded him to the L.A. Rams. I believe, Jordan, he played a little bit. Yeah, he played a short time for the L.A. Who did he play for? No, he did, but you're wrong. As normal, I'm going to help you. He played a very short time for the Rams. Yes, Stafford got hurt, and then he played for the Carolina Panthers. Just follow me. Just make sure, if I'm wrong, what's it going to matter in the big picture? No. He played for the Cleveland Browns. He played for the
Los Angeles Rams. Then he went to the Carolina Panthers, and it didn't work out for any of them. And then he's finally landed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's going to be in a game Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's going to get beat. Anyway, maybe the Eagles are playing bad. But anyway, we don't want to turn this into sports worship. Anyway, I'm using it for an illustration. So he played their last game last week, and they had to win the game in order to get to the playoffs. So they interviewed him after the game, and the interviewer, you know, was asking him all these questions. And he said this. Now, follow me. He said this. They said, well, how do you feel that you got in the playoffs? He said, all I'm doing is following God's plan for my life and seeing how it turns out. So let me see if I got this right. Let me see if I got this right. He was the number one draft pick for the Cleveland Browns, and he wasn't good enough to play with them, and so they traded him. And they traded him to the Rams, and the Rams didn't want to keep him as a backup, so they traded him to one of the worst teams in the NFL, which is the Carolina Panthers, and he couldn't make it with the Carolina Panthers, and so he's landed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know why he went from Cleveland to L.A. to Carolina to Tampa Bay? You know why? Because people decided he wasn't good enough to play for them. It had absolutely nothing to do with God. Do you know what he doesn't want to take responsibility for, Maria?
His gameplay.
Why didn't Cleveland want him? He wasn't good enough. Why didn't L.A. want him? He wasn't good enough. Why didn't Carolina want him? He wasn't good enough. Why did Tampa Bay want him? Because they'll take whatever they can get. They're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because in college, you don't have to be that good. It's the truth. And the Heisman Trophy is the most prejudiced award and overrated award in the history of sport. Dr. Kukar, we're talking about sports. We're no longer talking about the Bible anymore. We've decided we might get more people this way. Now, what's the point? I got to catch them up. What's the point I'm making? Was it God's fault that Baker Mayfield played for four teams? Whose fault was it? What doesn't he want to do? We're not victims. We're not being manipulated by God. God's not planning these bad things in our lives. See, I'm going to tell you something else. This is kind of one thing that I'm not completely in line with Andrew Womack on, although he believes exactly what I'm talking about here. But I'm telling you, the quality of your life is directly related to the quality of the decisions you make. Quality, quality, quality. So I said, Lord, could I teach this to anybody? Would this work in the business world? Would they receive it, John? Would they receive it in the business world? If they let me stand in front of a bunch of civil servants, we might not get a Bible verse in today because I'm laying the foundation. I'm going to make sure we get a Bible verse in. John, would civil servants receive this? Would they relate to it? Dr. Kukar, would doctors receive this? Do you have to get good information? And did you get your good information by going to school and learning it from a person? Yeah, but always say yes when I'm asking. See that? Yeah, unless it's no. I'll tell you. Yeah, did you have to go to, Sarah, let's leave him out. Sarah, did you have to go to school and get information? And did you use that information to form a belief system? And then did you make a decision then to become a doctor? Oh, man. So it works there. Could I give this presentation anywhere except one place? Who's going to throw me out? Oh, God, you can't teach that. That's a lie. I've got cancer because this is what God wanted. I'm in this bad marriage because this is what God wanted. Amen. I'm anxious and depressed because God's getting me through teaching me. He's bringing me down to the very bottom so eventually he can lift me up. What's missing in all those determinations? Responsibility. So I said, Lord, so I'm, All right, that's it. That's it, bringing it into the secular world. But would you agree? Do you understand now why the Lord's giving me copyright rights? Do you understand that when I'm gone, this is what I want y'all to sell? Bryant, you got to sell that. Okay, make sure you sell that. Do you understand why? Because it didn't come. First of all, Lord, just I swear, the Lord just said something to you. Said, make sure you give credit where credit's due. Did I learn? Did I make this up out of my head? Did I make it up out of my head? Did it come to me directly from God on 3472 Briarwood? Did I then just go to the kitchen and write it down? Have I changed the word of it? I don't think. I might have, maybe sentence-wise I might have, but I don't think I changed the word of it. Am I telling the truth? Did this happen exactly the way it did?
Yes.
Did you respond exactly the way I said you did?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. So now we're going to bring it into Christianity, and this is what kind of makes me a little sad about it. Because it's going to rock people's world when they find out they've been wrong. How many of you know it's hard to realize you're wrong? Full disclosure, I've discovered a lot of things about me and about stuff that I'm wrong about. But I think I've been man enough to admit it. I think I have. Okay. So I said, Lord, I teach this. It came directly from you, and it'll fit in any situation. But I said, can you give it to me? This was just this week. I said, can you give it to me a little differently so that maybe I won't have to use the words directly related? I want to keep the word quality, but I said, can you give it to me so I won't have to use the words directly related? I swear, as God is my witness, here's what the Lord told me to do. People impart information to us that forms our belief system that determines the decisions we make. Say it with me out loud. This is the new. Should I put my name on the site today and cite me that that's my? It's not mine. It's God's. I should just say God. Amen. All right. Say it with me, everybody. People impart information to us that forms our belief system that determines the decisions we make. I'm going to go into this, but I want to give you a little side journey here for a minute. I started out my college career at Cochise College. I actually started going to Cochise College while I was in the Army. And I had a wonderful English teacher by the name of Lucy Shaver. She passed away. Wonderful lady. I had some great teachers at Cochise College. I would highly recommend that if you can't afford a four-year university right away, get to a junior college. And you know, I feel so bad about Anna because she had most of her stuff was in the COVID stuff, and she didn't get to go through all of the stuff that you really should go through. But anyway, this wonderful lady, Lucy Shaver, I'm bringing this up because she said something good about me. She said, Mark, you're one of the She said, Mark, you're one of the best English students I've ever had. She said, your writing and your perception is probably as good as anybody I've ever encountered. And I said, well, yeah, thank you very much. I knew that. Thank you, Luce. I said, but she said, I got to tell you one thing. You don't know a thing in the world about commas. She says, your writing is spectacular, but she says, son, you'll put a comma just about anywhere. And I said, Lucy, you were doing so good. Everything was going wonderful. But she did. She says, you just can't, you have no understanding of commas. And I said, Lucy, I really don't. So we decided, me and Teresa last night, and we're going to see James isn't here because James knows everything. He does. Does a comma belong there? We decided it didn't. I think it's one sentence. I don't think it needs a comma. I hope she knew Jesus is in heaven. I hope she is. And I hope she's saying, son, you still don't know a thing in the world about comma. So I think it's good. I think it's a good sentence. So let's say it out loud one more time. And let's say it with a little bit more rhythm. You guys are kind of out of rhythm. Really? Just start saying it. People impart information to us that forms our belief system that determines the decisions we make. All right. So here's how we're going to start doing this. You're going to start thinking about P-I-B-D. P-I-B-D. P for? I for? Boy, if you don't get this one, I'm telling you, you need remedial schooling. P for people, I for, B for, and D for. Now I'm going to make it about Christianity, and I'm going to hurt everybody's feelings before I fix it. I told you that the problem with this is that it can rock your world. Because if you really are honest with yourself, and you really start understanding what life really is about, which is responsibility, it's about responsibility. It's about you doing the right things, no matter what your environment, no matter what your situation. If you actually come to terms with that, it's going to cause you to have to go through some persecution and tribulation from people who don't know the same thing you know. Baker Mayfield, if he heard my sermon today, he would be mad at me because I pulled out from under the rug the fact that he's only, and by the way, need to say this. Am I an NFL quarterback? Am I making $10 to $15 million a year? Just about eight. That's no. See, don't run off and lie on me now. So, all things considered, is he a top one percenter? But was it God's fault that he landed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Was God just leading him down the line? No. It's because that's how it played out for him. And he doesn't want to take responsibility. Now, to his credit, everywhere he goes, he tries. And it looks like he's going to go as far as tonight, and then that'll be as far as he gets. All right? So here's the deal. Here's the deal. So I'll use me first, and I'll use a denomination or a religious institution first. And then again, I'm going to make some people mad. But we are in a position here in this church because of how it's set up that we don't have to really be that concerned if we're going to hurt people's feelings. Although we're not in this business, I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. If I was, I'm wrong. I'm here to try to impart truth to people. That's what I'm here to do. I'm trying to get people the truth that'll set you free. In fact, let me give you that verse. Let's put a verse up just in case I don't get to a verse. Let me put that verse up because you got to come back. We're going to do this one more time. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Say that, everybody. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John 8:32. See, to be honest with you, this is such a hard thing to realize. And you got to have a mature mind and a mature heart. To be honest with you, if you're not free in an area of your life, it's because you're not making or receiving the right quality information. And you're not taking that quality information and activating it into your life by believing it and deciding on it. See, freedom means free. Let me give you one more verse because I may not get to another verse. And this isn't in the lineup, Jamin, but you can handle it because if you can dunk a basketball or if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Ephesians 4:21. How many of you got that reference? See, I knew them too would. I knew. They're dodgeball watchers. If you can dodge a car, you can dodge a ball. If you can dunk a basketball, you can find Ephesians 4:21. If indeed, here we go now, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, say this with me, everybody, as the truth is in Jesus. Say it with me, as the truth is in Jesus. Have I laid the groundwork good enough? Can I now start telling people some hard information? So let's use me first. Let's go to P-I-B-D. Well, I want you to get that in your head. I want you to wake up in the morning and say, P-I-B-D. P-I-B-D. So Mark Browning was born June the 4th, 1959. Now listen to this very carefully because it'll give you some clues about me. I was born June the 4th, 1959 in Lebanon, Kentucky. Listen to this. At Mary Immaculate Hospital. Now those two words are absolutely lies. Mary was not immaculate. Mary was a wonderful person. Mary received the word the angel gave to her, and she brought forth Jesus Christ and had great faith to do it. But at some point in his earthly ministry, she and his brothers turned their back on him. And Mary, if you just notice the word there, Mary, Jesus had brothers and sisters, so that means that Joseph and Mary were affectionate. Gotta be, see, I'm wise. Affectionate. Somebody's going, well, what's affectionate? Okay. So she was not ever virgin. You don't waste your time praying to her, because she had to get born again in the book of Acts, chapter 2. She's in the upper room with the rest of the folk, and she has to get born again because she's a flesh and blood person. She's not divine. Can I get an amen? Amen. Have I just offended millions of people? But have I told them the truth? Hold on, I'm going to offend you before it's over. So hold on. No, maybe probably not. All right, everybody all with me? So I was born June 4th, 1959 at Mary Immaculate Hospital, and I was raised a Roman Catholic. The reason why I was raised a Roman Catholic was because my mother and daddy were Roman Catholics. The reason why my mother and daddy were Roman Catholics is because their mamas and daddies were Roman Catholics. Everybody getting the gist of this? It was generational. So naturally, the people imparted to me Catholicism. And that formed my belief system, and that influenced my decisions. So basically, that meant I could live any way I wanted because I got baptized when I was a baby, and I went to Mass and got communion, so that guaranteed me access to heaven. That's all a lie. Water baptism is not for babies. Water baptism is for people who consciously have made a decision to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then you get baptized. Communion, when you receive the bread and the wine, that's not Jesus' blood, and that's not Jesus' body. That's a symbolic thing that tells you that his body and his blood was broken for you. Have I offended a lot of Catholics? Did I mean to? No. Do I love them? Was I one? I used to think it was my mission in life to get them all saved. And I found out it was too big for me. I couldn't handle it. That's up to God. Amen. I just got to put the information out. So what got me to change? I better go on because I want to make sure I offend everybody. I don't want to just pick on Catholics. Let's pick on Baptists. Let's pick on Baptists. Was anybody here raised a Baptist? Man, you non-Baptist folk. Let me ask you this. Was anybody here raised a Methodist? Who? Raise your hand. And we got a Lutheran here. Was anybody here raised an atheist? That's the best kind. I want them. I want them. Okay, well, let's use Methodist then. Let's use Methodist. The Methodist Church was started by a man named John Wesley, one of the greatest evangelists in the history of Christianity. He evangelized the world, and he started the Methodist Church. Back in the day, the Methodist Church were full of born-again, spirit-filled believers. Over time, I'm glad you used the word Methodist, or that you were a Methodist. Over time, they became more and more liberal. They began to drift more and more away from the Word of God. What is truth? Jesus is truth. If you drift away from, and Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Word. If you drift away from the Word, you're drifting away from Jesus, and you're drifting away from the truth. Woo! Man.
so much to teach and so little time to teach it. Are you listening to me? Jesus might be back this afternoon. Amen. Be all right. Amen. Praise God. Can we find out if the Rams are going to win tonight? But anyway, here we go. Just a joke, Maria. Just a joke. Just a joke. I didn't mean it that way. All right. So over time, they became more and more liberal. And in fact, they've had a major church split because you know what the Methodist Church have decided to do? They've decided to welcome LGBTQXYZ people. And they've decided that it's perfectly okay if that's what you want to do with your life. That is absolutely demonic. That is absolutely against the values of God. God created us male and female. A man's a man, a woman's a woman. If you're a man, you have a man's DNA. If you're a woman, you have a woman's DNA. You're not unhappy because you're a man. You're not unhappy because you're a woman. You're unhappy because you don't know Jesus. The truth's in Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. But Becky, I'm just going to use you for an example. I'm assuming that your parents were Methodist. Okay, somebody in your life was a Methodist, passed that information on to you, formed your belief system, and made you make your decisions. Teresa Marie Browning, born in Fargo, North Dakota. Yeah, I always get those messed up. Born in Fargo, North Dakota, ended up living in Breckenridge, Minnesota, born and raised a Lutheran, okay? I had the honor of going to church with her one day at a Lutheran church in, what town were we in?
Detroit Lakes.
We were in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and I went to a Lutheran service, and the only thing different about a Lutheran service and a Catholic service is they don't glorify the Virgin Mary. It's the only difference. It's pure religion. The guy preached a sermon on Matthew 11:28. Put that up just so I can show everybody. I think it's Matthew 11:28. I'm going by memory here. 11:28. Yeah, come to me. There it is. Come. This is, by the way, beautiful text here. Glorious text. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Go ahead and read verse 29. Verse 29. Same. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What a great verse. Could I spend a month teaching that verse? Knowing me, Frank, could I spend a month teaching that verse? You know what that guy did with that text? He turned it into genealogy and talked about how all these people came from different genealogies to America. That's what he did with that verse of Scripture. I thought, my Lord, for the love of Almighty God, can you go sell vacuum cleaners or Encyclopedia Britannicas? Get out of that pulpit. But you know why Teresa was a Lutheran? Her parents were Lutheran, and their parents were Lutheran. And why is she not a Lutheran anymore? Because she met Mark Browning. Let me tell you something. I'm going to come back next week and talk about this. How many of you are getting something out of this? This is life-changing. It's life-altering. It's life-altering. Did I get it? Did it come from my head? Did God give it to us? Somebody said, why did he do it? I have no idea. Only that he did. Because why is Teresa not a Lutheran anymore? She got different information. And she received that information. It changed her belief system, and it changed her decisions. The most important thing you'll do, I want Anna to hear this. I want Jordan to hear this. I want Jaslyn to hear this. I want, what's your name, young man? Charlie? And
Lily.
Lily? Lily, Charlie? I want Jamin to hear this. I want the Kukar children to hear this. All right? The most important thing that you can do in your life is hang out with the right people. Donnie Federico said, all of us that I didn't call on is because we got a little age on us. Some of you are showing your age worse than others. But the reason why I didn't call on anybody that's got a little age on you is because all of us that's got a little age on us now understand that. Come on. Come on, don't shout me down now. Somebody said, oh my God. See?
It's the most important thing you can ever do is hang around with the right people. Because people's who's giving you information. You know what you know from the Bible and from me and from other people like me. That's why you've changed your belief system. How many of you in this room right now have changed your belief system in your life? You've changed it. Man, I think everybody in the whole building ought to have their hand up. 1 Corinthians 15:33, I believe. I'm doing it by memory. Somebody would say you're showing off. No, I'm trying to show you that I have read the Bible. How many of you can figure out that I have read the Bible? Do not be deceived. Everybody say it with me. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I'm going to go on. I've got time. I'll use me. Say it again, everybody. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In other words, you can say it like this. Hanging around the wrong people corrupts your good habits. I'll use me for an example. I haven't hit a golf ball since November the 18th. I don't miss it at all. You know why I don't miss it? Because of this verse right here. Because I had allowed golf and the things associated with golf and some of the people associated with golf. Not everybody, but I had allowed those people to corrupt my good habits. I was cussing way more than I should. Because I'm not saying I don't cuss. Because you can't live in this life and have children and not occasionally cuss. Can I get an amen? No, I mean, I'm trying to, yeah. So, but I'm telling you, I'd begun to cuss. I'd have begun to drink a little alcohol. And I was ruining my witness. And the Lord told me way back, a long time ago, you either got to straighten up or quit. But I'd invested so much blasted money in it. I'd invested so much time in it. And it was depressing to think about it. But finally, one day, it just hit me. I don't like doing this, and I don't want to do it anymore. Does that mean I won't take it up somewhere down the line? Maybe, maybe not. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to do it if it corrupts my good habits. I haven't cussed hardly at all. I think I tried to think about the last time I cussed, and it was recent. But it wasn't near the, you know, it wasn't as bad a cuss word. It was a little tiny one, a little tiny. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, so I've dealt with Catholics. I've dealt with Methodists. I've dealt with Lutherans. Now let's deal with evangelical Protestants. Let's deal with them. Let's deal with that bunch of. Now, first of all, let's go to PIBD, Jamin. Jeremy, that's what that means when I say PIBD next week. Just go right to it. Let's put evangelical Christians in there. So I got new information, changed my belief system, and decided I no longer wanted to be a Catholic. So I went to Protestant churches. Now, and I went to Protestant churches that believed in the born-again experience. How many of you know that Baptists believe in the born-again experience? How many of you know that old-time Methodists believe in the born-again experience? So if you're going to go somewhere, at least go somewhere that believe in the born-again experience. You with me? So I determined that I'd go find a Protestant church. Anyway, y'all know my story. We found a wonderful church in Danville, Kentucky, with a Spirit-filled minister, and he was ministering to me. But I joined the Army and backslid, went through a five-year period of backsliding, joined the Army, came back to the Lord here at Fort Huachuca, and then I started going around trying to look for a church. And I was going to go find me a church that believed in the born-again experience, but I was going to kind of stay away from too much enthusiasm. Do you understand where I'm coming from? But I went into these churches, and I found out something amazing. They taught about being born again. Oh, I'm going to spend all kinds of time with this. They taught about being born again, but they kept bringing up the fact that everything happened for a reason. And like Baker Mayfield, all we were puppets in God's plan for our lives. And everything that's happened to us because that's how God wanted it. And I'd read my Bible enough that dog don't hunt. That don't hunt. See, I set before you life and blessing and cursing. God said, I set before you blessing and cursing. Everybody say choose. Oh, the most hated word in evangelical Protestant churches.
You mean it's up to me?
Yes, I mean it's up to you. Will God help you when you screw up? Yes. Has God helped me when I screwed up? Yes. Have I screwed up, Carol? So I had to do something. I had to correct that thinking. And you know what it cost me? A bunch. You know why? This is hard on people. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. That darn woman that you gave to be with me, she's what made me eat of that fruit. That darn man that I couldn't live without, that looked like Tom Cruise until I woke up with him one morning and his breath smelled like Beelzebub. No, it's about choices. Life is about choices. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Choose the truth. You are where you are because of decisions that either you made or somebody else made for you. Some people are not old enough or mature enough or mentally capable of making their own choices, but somebody's making a choice for you. Charlie left the service. He's looking for more money. Lily stuck around. They're having choices made for them. My mom and dad made my choices for me until I reached an age where I could think for myself. And then I did the most honorable thing other than receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I decided to find out what was in that book. And I decided to find out that that book does not teach that God is sovereign. That book teaches that God is love, and it's up to us to choose His love. Can I get an amen? I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit. I could take this all over the world. You know that? I could take this all over the world. And look what we got here. 20 to 25 wonderful people. I'll do like my dad. I'm going to say 30 because 10 people drove by there and decided not to come in. That's what he'd do at the prison. If an inmate looked in the door, he'd count them. I said, Daddy, how many did you have? Oh, he said, I had 40. I said, Daddy, there wasn't no more than 20 in there. He said, Son, you didn't see them all walk by the door. Man, he was the eternal optimist. You know why? Because he believed God. He believed that God is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He believed that nothing was impossible with God. And he passed that on to me, and I've tried to pass that on. I've done a terrible job passing it on to these two kids, knowing what I know. Now, I've repented of it, and they're going to hear about Jesus if they hang around me. And I'm not going to promote unhonorable behavior. I'm not going to promote it. I'm not going to close my blind eye to it. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. I've made it my life's mission, Jerry, to tell people the truth. And I haven't lived it completely in front of people, but it is the truth. It is the truth that people have imparted information to you that has formed your belief system, and that belief system has determined the decisions you make. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. People impart information to us that forms our belief system that determines the decisions we make.